In the previous paragraph, we spoke, the Rebbe mentioned that in previous generations, it was not possible to go out and say there's seven mitzvahs of Bnei Noyach. It was very dangerous to do so, very dangerous. So even though this is something that is in Torah from the moment that it was given, because God told, this is what the Rambam writes and what the Rebbe is bringing here in the teaching. It's a mitzvah to force all the nations of the world to follow these mitzvahs, etc. Okay, it's in the Torah. God said this to Moshe, but it wasn't possible to go out and do anything about it. Impossible. And this goes to the point that we can go really back in history and we see Avraham Avinu doing exactly this. In his times, maybe it wasn't so related to dangerous activities, but there was a time in history it was actually. והנה ידוע שהגאולה ממצרים הייתה יכולה להיות הגאולה האמיתית והשלמה שאין אחרי הגולוס. Now, it's known that the redemption from Egypt, Mitzrayim, it could have been a real redemption, complete, absolute redemption, without any other exile afterwards. No. How do you know this? The Zohar says this, She'ilu zachu Yisrael, if the Jewish people would have been meritorious, Haisa ha'geula mimitzrayim, geula shein achari agolus. The redemption from Egypt would have been the last one. That's it. We have Moshiach, etc., etc. ובזה, with this idea, יש ליישב גם מה שאמרו רזל, שביקש יעקב לגלות את הקץ וניסה לממנו. With this idea, we can understand, we can explain what our sages said about Yaakov. Yaakov, he wanted to reveal when Moshiach would come, and he couldn't. Like if you see in Parshat Vayechi, if you see Yaakov starts talking, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen in the last of the days, and then he suddenly starts saying something else. What's going on? So God said, no, it's not the time now. L'chiyay ra'ino mo'van, apparently it's not understood. The Mekiv Anshi HaKeitz Be'ito Hu Le'acharei Alfei Shanim Mizman Yaakov, Kanira Bachush, the Rebbe has a very interesting question. Because this limit, so to speak, this day that the Moshiach will come, it's thousands of years after Yaakov, as we can see in actuality, like Moshiach didn't come yet, so Yaakov lived like thousands of years ago. So imagine Yaakov at that point, what would he say? Like Moshiach is going to come from now, like 4,000 years. That's what he would have said. Im ken, if this is so, lama ratza Yaakov legal zakeitz? Why would Yaakov want actually to tell his children, look, Moshiach is going to take like 4,000 years to come? Oive, if you tell me this, it's terrible. I'm not going to be alive in 4,000 years. It doesn't really matter what I do because anyway, he's not coming now. It's terrible. But al yedei zeh, haya yachol lifol nefilas haruach b'Yisrael. Through this, through Yaakov telling the Jewish people or his children, whatever, Moshiach is going to take 4,000 years to come, he could have done a very nefila, like really depression. Nefilas ruach means really a big, tough, profound depression on the Jewish people. This is terrible. Yeah, Nefilas Ruach is the literal translation of Nefila means to fall. Like a fall on the spirit. That's like literal translation. But what it means is like depression. Yeah. Moreover, it's not understood. Al pi mashamru razal, according to what our sages said, al apostle on the verse, vayemer elekim lemoyshe eye asher eye. God, when he showed to Moshe in the burning bush, God told to Moshe, I will be whatever I will be, or the one that I will be, something like that. Doesn't really matter the precise translation. This is what God told Moshe. Omar, our sages say about this conversation, Omar Lefanav, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moshe told God, Ribbono Shel Olam, Master of the World, Ma ani mazkir lahem tzara acheres, dayem betzara zu. Why should I mention to the Jewish people another suffering? It's enough with the suffering they have. Like God told Moshe, look, just as I am here with you in the suffering of Mitzrayim, I will be there in the future suffering of the Jewish people throughout thousands of years. I will be there, says God. So Moshe is asking, wait a second. You're telling me that I should go tell the people, you're going to be suffering for thousands of years. You should know, but God is going to be with you. Thank you. Take out the suffering. What are you talking about? I don't want to suffer. So we don't understand. What's this conversation? What's God tell, like the consolation God is giving? You will suffer, but I will be with you. Make me not to suffer. I don't want to suffer. The Niskablaton of Seishel Moshe. And the declaration of Moshe was received. Like, okay, you're right. Don't mention to them that they will suffer. Okay, you're right. V'yamar l'Kadosh Baruch Hu yafe amarta. And God said to Moshe, you said properly, you're right. Go tell them, I will be with them now. Okay, they're suffering, so it's okay. I will be with you, etc. So we don't understand. What's Yaakov doing? He's going to depress the Jewish people for thousands of years. And here there's a strange conversation. Moshe already knew we will be suffering. The Mikol Zeh move on. From all of this we can understand. It's not proper to mention to another Jew some suffering. Like, you know, you're going to be suffering, so you know what? At least don't say anything. Shut up. Okay, he's going to suffer, so don't say anything. This, you see, like with education, also with children, sometimes you know they're going to be suffering. You know they're going to like hit the head on the wall. But you know what? Okay, so don't say anything. They have to learn. You can try to guide them, okay? But at least don't tell them, like, it's going to hurt, and it's going to hurt a lot, and you're going to suffer. Shut up. At least don't say anything, and just be there, and try to be nice when they suffer. Lama ratza Yaakov legales lifnei mesakeitz. Why would Yaakov want, actually wanted, to reveal when Mashiach would come? This would be thousands of years later. Why? Nal means, literally means, Nizkar Le'el. According to what we mentioned before, Yuvan. We're going to understand. Mishum Shegil, Yaketz Shel Yaakov, Hayaketz Shel Yetzias Mitzrayim. Because the revelation of the day of the coming of Moshiach that Yaakov wanted to reveal, was the day the Jewish people would go out of Mitzrayim, of Egypt. And this would happen like 200 years afterwards. Okay, it's not so bad, you know. She'ilu zachu, if the Jewish people would have been meritorious, ha'isa geula zu geula shleima kanal, this redemption would have been the complete redemption as mentioned before. Ve'al yedei she'yakov haya oimre bedivur u'batoira, and through the fact that Yaakov would have said this, pronounced this, and it would have been registered in the Torah when Mashiach would come. Hayanim shachar kach ken gam ba'olam. This would have been projected into the world. Like, has to be true. If the Torah says, it has to happen. If Yaakov would have said it, it had to happen. It should, the coming out of Egypt should have been the complete and absolute redemption. Ubifrat, in particular, through adding up in the learning of Torah, etc., we could have, in Egypt or something like that, generated that the Geula, the redemption, would have come before even those 200 years that Yaakov would have said. So, not literally 200, a little bit more, but whatever, 210, doesn't matter. Not so long, not thousands of years. As it's brought in the teachings of the Alter Rebbe, Rabbeinu Zaken, that he takes from Tikkunei Zohar, that's another part of the Zohar, Sheimahaya Tzadik Echot, Choizer Bitshuva Shleima Betoiroi, if one righteous person would have returned in repentance, complete repentance, in his generation, Hayabo Mashiach, Mashiach would come. Hainu, that means the av shetzarich liyos inyan abirurim. Even though there has to be this whole concept of refinement of the world, ועמדו ברקן ועוד בזמן הזויר, and we're talking here that the Alter Rebbe is quoting the Zohar, that the Zohar says in the times of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, like 200 after common era, if a tzaddik would have done tshuva, if a righteous person would have done repentance, whatever, in his times, already Mashiach would have come. Like, we're talking about like 2,000 years ago, around 2,000 years ago. So if we're talking about even in the times of the Zohar itself, even though, even so, that we're talking about 2,000 years ago, already it was the possibility of the coming of Mashiach. Because Rabbi Shimon is writing in the Torah, in the Zohar, if somebody does tshuva, Mashiach is coming. Now, mitam ze haya begolus Mitzrayim me'ena inyan de le'avdoi kulam shchem echad. Listen to these words, are gewalt, amazing. For this same reason, the exile in Egypt in Mitzrayim had something like to serve God, everybody together. Like Stefania is talking about the coming of Mashiach, Stefania chapter 3, number 9, he's talking about the coming of Mashiach, that all the human beings are going to serve God, everybody together, very nice. Okay, this same idea that is connected to the final and complete redemption with Mashiach, we could have had that in Mitzrayim, because Mitzrayim, Egypt, had the potential for the complete and absolute redemption. So every single detail you can see in the complete and absolute redemption, you have to find it in every single situation that has the potential for a complete redemption. And the Zohar says that Egypt, coming out of Egypt, would have been the complete redemption. Ah, okay. So that means that everybody, just as in the real redemption that we're waiting for, is going to happen, that everybody's going to serve God. All the human beings are going to serve God. So in Egypt, the same thing could have happened. Somehow, it could have happened. Had the potential for that. וכמו שמצינו אצל יוסף, just as we find on Yosef, the son of Jacob, דקסיב בי, on him it's written, ובלעדיך לא ירים איש את ידוי וזרגלוי בכל ארץ מצרים. It's a verse. Except for you, I mean, if you don't allow, nobody can raise the hand, nobody can raise the foot in the whole land of Egypt. So he was like the ruler, the complete ruler of Egypt. Moreover, the tokef ha-melucha de Yosef haya keparoi, the strength of the kingship of Yosef was just like Paroi's, the king of Egypt. As Yehuda says to Yosef, for me, you're like Paroi, the same thing. Okay, between them, of course, Pharaoh was on top and Yosef was on the bottom. But according to what anybody could see, Yosef and Pharaoh were the same. The mashalayori mi shesiyade vezraglo becharetz Mitzrayim. The fact that nobody could raise a hand or a foot in the whole land of Egypt. Hayadze be'oifen shel mishne lepharaoh melech Mitzrayim. This was in a way of you're the second to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. I mean, it wasn't that Yosef picked up a revolver and start saying, if anybody moves, I kill him. No. The king of Egypt said to everybody, listen to this guy. This guy is important to me. So it was like really pretty much like Pharaoh. The Indian say, haya bekoichu shel Pharaoh. This idea that nobody can move unless I give you permission, this was in the strength of Pharaoh. He was the only one that could do this. And he, like, gave this power to Yosef. So they were like basically the same. Omnam, however, Yeshleimer shi Yehuda po'al inyan na'al Yosef be'Yosef, shenasi kamoicha kefarei. The Rebbe goes one step further. We could say, Yeshleimer, in every single Maimer Hasidus, Hasidic discourse that you find, the Rebbe saying Yeshleimer, that means I didn't see this written anywhere. This is my input. This is what I think. Yesh Leimar, we could say that Yehuda generated this something even higher in Yosef than what Pharaoh generated in Yosef. Like, we have the king of Egypt, and he gives power to Yosef. Okay, that's fine. And Yosef is the second to the king. That's fine. Why is he a second to the king? Because the king said, you're the second to me. Fine. Now comes Yehuda and says, you know what? What do you mean second? You, to me, you're like Pharaoh. No second over here. You're the same thing. So that's what the Rebbe is like pointing out. We can say that Yehuda generated on Yosef even something higher than what Pharaoh generated on Yosef. She Yosef haya bekoyach atzmoi kemoi Pharaoh bal habayis al eretz Mitzrayim. Yosef had the strength by himself, just like the king of Egypt, Pharaoh, to be the owner. Bal habayis is like owner of the whole land of Egypt. V'chol ha'olam kulo, and the whole world. V'inyan ze nifal al yedei divrei Yehuda, this was generated through the words of Yehuda. She'omar v'nafshei k'shura v'nafshei. When he was arguing, so to speak, Pashat Vayigash, when he was talking to Yosef, he said the logic, so to speak, why Binyamin cannot stay in Egypt, he has to go back to Yaakov, because the soul of Binyamin is tied, k'shura, tied to the soul of Yaakov. Shenafshei k'shura v'nafshei shel Oviv. That means Oviv shevashamayim. His soul, the Rebbe is taking this in a different, very different way of understanding. His soul is, I'll translate and I'll explain. His soul is connected with the soul of his father. That means his father in the heavens. The Rebbe is saying something very interesting. The Rebbe is saying like this. Let's take the pshat. Pshat is like a simple meaning. Simple meaning is like this. Okay, we have Yehuda presenting himself in front of Yosef. Yosef is saying, Binyamin is staying here, he's not going anywhere. And Yehuda says, no, wait a minute. What do you mean? And he gives a whole long speech. And basically within the speech he says, look, Binyamin cannot stay in Egypt because my father, Yaakov, is so tied to Binyamin, my brother, that forget it. I'm staying here, Binyamin is going back. This is what Yehuda is talking about. This is what he's saying. But the Rebbe is saying something much, much deeper, like not pshat, not the literal meaning. The Rebbe is saying like this, look, Yehuda affected Yosef in a very deep way. It's not just that he was talking and talking hard and ready to like give his life. No. There's something more happening here. Yehuda is like injecting in Yosef to be the king of Egypt and the ruler over all things that happen in Egypt. Pharaoh, so to speak, injected Yosef to be the second to the king. Wow, a lot of power. But Yehuda, through talking to Yosef and saying to Yosef, you to me, you're like Pharaoh, he like gave an upgrade on Yosef. It's very, very big upgrade. How did he do it? What was the power of Yehuda to do such a thing? Because after all, wait a second, Yehuda is not the king of Egypt. Yehuda doesn't have like the jurisdiction on Egypt. He can say whatever he wants to say, but there's a king over here, you know? There's somebody that puts rules, etc., etc. So why did Yehuda have the power of giving this upgrade to Yosef that the king of Egypt didn't give? Who are you to give this? So then I'm saying, what did Yehuda say? Kshura, nafshe, kshura benafshe. Literal translation, his soul of Binyamin is connected to his soul of my father. But the Rebbe is saying, no, Yehuda is talking about his own soul. He's talking about himself. Nafshoi, my soul, is connected to the soul of my father. Who's my father? God. Aviv Sheva Shamayim. My father that is in heavens. So through me being connected to God, I have the power to give you, Yosef, an upgrade that not even father can give you. But I can give it to you because I'm connected to God. Very deep connection, so to speak. Let's go read it again, just one line, the inyan there. So the Rebbe is explaining, how can Yehuda give such an upgrade to Yosef? You're crazy. He's not the boss over here in Mitzrayim. The inyan zeh nifal al yedei divrei Yehuda. These things were done through the words of Yehuda. She Omar, what did Yehuda say? Nafshei k'shura v'nafshei. I'm just translating the words. His soul is connected to his soul. What does that mean? Hainu. What does that mean? Shenafshoi, his own soul, Shura, of Yehuda, it's tied, the Nafshoi Shel Aviv, to the soul of his father, Aviv Shura Shamayim, his father in heaven. God. Think about God. Yal Yedei Zeh, through this like deep connection, etc., Poal etzel Yosef, liyo iskamoicha gefar. He affected Yosef to be just like you, just like father. You're the same. I'll give you an upgrade on this kingship thing. Ve'at shelo yochel isapek, to the point that Yosef couldn't contain himself. Ubracha bekol, he started crying, like in front of everybody. Wow, such a powerful thing you're giving me. I can't deal with this, I'm sorry. Started crying. The inyan abechiye, the idea, the concept, general concept of crying, moire al ze, she'en kli amoyach shelo yechonen lakabel es goyde lagiloi. This indicates that the vessel of the brain, like the brain, your mind, cannot receive such a powerful revelation. And you start crying. Like in Kabbalah, this is something that is brought in Kabbalah. The Rebbe says, Kemuva v'chassides, in the parentheses, like it's brought in Chassides, misifrei ha-teva v'sifrei ha-refuah, from the books of naturals and the books of medicine. What is brought over there, of course, is not a regular common medicine, but it's brought this, when your brain cannot process something, you cannot understand something, you start crying. Why? Because the brain gets like, all like shrinked, something like that, and the tears start coming out. Of course, physically speaking, it's not like that. No. We're not talking about regular medicine. No. It's like a concept. It's an idea. When you cannot process and understand something, you cry. You cry. So this is what happened with Yosef. And this is what Yehuda gave to Yosef. Why? Because of his connection to God. Now, why is the Rebbe saying all of this within this paragraph? What the Rebbe is saying is, look, every single thing that is going to be happening in the coming of Mashiach, this started actually in Egypt. Many, many years ago, even before being slaves in Egypt, the enslavement of the Jewish people in Egypt, even before that. And it was in potential, it didn't come out, but it was in potential. Now, the Rebbe is going to continue. Behine, Hashem Shehu Benegia LeGeula, just as it's regarding the redemption, Shia Geula Ho'asida, Yesh La Kesher LeGeulas Mitzrayim, that the future redemption with Mashiach has a connection to the redemption of Egypt, Al Derech Ze Benegia LeGolus Ze. The same thing happens with this exile we're living right now. The inyan shel golus udavar mar meoid. The whole idea of exile is something very mar. It's like sour, very sour. Shiagolus mevalvel hen bayayim hen balayla. That the exile confounds a person, bothers a person by day, by night. And Moshe Rabbeinu begolus Mitzrayim, lomare oisa la'am hazeh. And on this, you can say the words that Moshe said to God regarding the exile in Egypt. Lama, why were you so bad with these people? Why were you so bad with these people? Like Parsha Shmois ends up with this questioning of Moshe to God. You're sending me to take out the people from Egypt. And from the time you sent me, it's worse. So you're a bad God, you know? You're not such a good God. Umeyaz basil pare ledaber bishmecha, heira la'am hazeh. And from the moment I went to Pharaoh to talk on your name, it's worse. It's even worse, etc. The taina zu, haisale rak tainas shoitre Israel. Shamro teven nitan lavadecha, ulevene imamri lanu asu vegan. These complaint is not just a complaint of the like the Shotrei Israel were the ones that regulated the work in Egypt, and they complained to Pharaoh, you're not giving us teven is like straw, you're not giving us straw, and you're telling us we have to do more levaining, more tiles, and it's difficult, you know. It's not just that. This complaint was the complaint of Moshe, not just the Shoitre Israel, not just the police, so to speak, Jewish police in Egypt. Because the Pharaoh was the owner. Moshe Bekipa is an expression. Kipa literally means like a like some the roof, when they do the roof, like the Arabs do the roof like this in a circular thing, that's called a kippah in Hebrew. Like the kippah also, but why is it called like that? Because it's like on the head, so it's like circular thing. So Paro was Moshe b'kippah. Kippah, he is the world. And he was the ruler of the world. That's what it means, the expression. Ufara yayne neisen teven. And Paro is not giving straw. Vemelaset levenim. And Paro is saying you have to do the tiles anyway. V'toyen nirpim atem nirpim. Moreover, Paro is complaining and saying, you don't want to work. You're just a bunch of people that don't want to work. Arei al ze ba'atanas Moshe Rabbeinu. On this comes the complaint of Moshe Rabbeinu. V'zayka g'doyla, with a strong clamor. Lam ha'rei salam ze. Why were you so bad with these people? So, it's difficult to see in the text. I'm trying to figure out how to explain it, but here you have the Rebbe, like this is many, many years ago, but here you have the Rebbe sitting in front of thousands of Hasidim, and the Rebbe, the way Hasidim explains, is the Moshe Rabbeinu of our generation. So here you have the Rebbe, he's talking to God. Like, everybody's listening to the conversation, but he's talking to God. And he's saying, why are you so bad? End up with this. Enough. You're telling us that we don't, somebody else telling us that we don't work, and we have to do this. And you, what are you doing? You're not doing anything. So the Rebbe is like assuming the words, he continues with this. The Holy Menya Torah needs him. All the things of the Torah are eternal. So the Rebbe is saying, I'm here, I'm Moshe Rabbeinu, I'm complaining. Stop with the Golus. Stop with the exile. I don't want this anymore. And it's not just somebody else complaining because doesn't have money, doesn't have health. Forget it. It's me complaining. Stop. Afilu tainus shebatoira sheyishaleim maima v'chulei, even complaints that are actually recorded in the Torah, and they have an answer, etc. Because this is only the end of Parsha Shmois, and then in Parsha Va'era, God answers Moshe. Oh, I've showed myself to the forefathers, and you will see what I'll do. I don't care about your answer. The question is still a good question. Even if you have an answer, the question is still a good question. So forget it. Don't come to me with answers. I don't want answers. Bring Mashiach. That's it. That's the only answer I receive. It's like you're asking a question, how much is 1 + 1? And somebody says 3, somebody says 4. You just don't know. So, well, interesting. I'm just receiving answer 1. That's it. I don't care about any other answers. Ukenoida, parenthesis. Ukenoida raya lazem ishvuas Moshe Rabbeinu, vayol Moshe. As it's known, the proof, the ideal proof of this thing, this concept, the swearing of Moshe Rabbeinu, when the Torah says vayol is a word, it's a strange word that is usually used in the context of Shavua, of swearing, in the context of swearing. In the literal context in Parsha Shmois, where the Torah says Vayol Moshe, means he agreed to sit with Israel. When he went out of Egypt, he went to Israel, he got married to Tzipora, etc. So Vayol Moshe agreed to stay. But what it really means is Moshe swore, yes, I'm going to stay, don't worry, I'm not leaving unless I ask for your permission. That was his swearing. So the proof is that there's a swearing of Moshe Rabbeinu. The kivan sheuzkera b'toira efshar le'atfis ba'af shebeteila. That even though it is, because it is written in the Torah, it's mentioned in the Torah, you can like tap on this swearing of Moshe Rabbeinu, even though it finished already because Moshe passed away and Israel passed away, forget it. No more swearing, but you can use this word and mean swearing. Why? Because Moshe used this word to swear, so you can use this word and swear. So that means even something that passed thousands of years ago has a relevance even today. Because Shekin Khan, how much more over here? There was no answer to the complaint of Moshe. There was no answer, no real answer. If you read the last verses of Shmois and the first ones of Va'eira, it's all the commentaries, all of them, commentators argue, what's the answer? You're not giving an answer. You just say, no, you will see, you will see, huh? You will see. It's like, it happens also in Chinuch, in education, when the parent says to the child, if you do this, you'll see what will happen. Yeah, what? You'll see. What? You're not telling me anything. Maybe I should do it, because anyway, the consequences are not going to be so hard. So if you tell me I'm going to, oh, okay. God doesn't say anything. He just says, here you will see. And God only answers to Moshe, our forefathers didn't complain. Didn't ask any questions. You're asking too many questions. I don't like this. That's the answer God gave Moshe. The fact that you should not question God, so to speak, that does not annul the fact that there's a question, that they complain, why were you so bad? Okay, I should not complain on you, but you know what? I have a complaint anyway. One thing doesn't take out of the other. And God is saying, don't complain. I do complain. What do you mean? Yeah, I don't take the situation. I don't like it. To the point that on this particular thing, the nations of the world, they complain against the Jewish people. They also don't take the situation. They also don't like it. How do you know this? Okay, Drashas Razal, our sages say, al posuk, matbei decho midoit. What's the... It's a difficult passage to a difficult verse to translate. It's from Shir HaShirim, the Song of Songs, Song of Songs. So it's a whole difficult text. But the point is, Doidecho means your beloved. Idoid is my beloved. It's like she. It's a whole conversation between him and her, Shir HaShirim. So she is talking to somebody saying, my beloved is better than yours. Like, my husband is better than yours. So, okay. This is what the verse says. What do our sages say? This is what the nations of the world used to ask the Jewish people. How is better your God from all the gods around? Tell me really, how is he better? You're being burned and you're being crucified on him. Hello, is your God a good God? You're really suffering, Jewish people. I don't think your God is really good. Why should I call it good? I know. That means we find ourselves in this so sour and deep, like very koishek, how do you say? The word is not coming, oscuridad in Spanish, it's not coming in English. Dark, so sour and dark, etc. Hello, but even so, the Jewish people are not questioning, and they don't get embarrassed because of those who make fun of the Jewish people, etc. And because today, of course, not today that we're learning, but when the Rebbe was talking, is the day of Shabbos, that you cannot be sad in Shabbos. I'm going to stop talking about this. I can imagine like the words of the Rebbe. He was so like angry at God. I can't talk about this, but I'm really bothered by this. We have to talk about things of happiness. That speedily will be the news of the redemption. Just as we say in the wordings of Hoshanas, which is a ceremony done in Sukkot. It doesn't matter the whole thing. It's a long text that we read. The Hoshana Rabbah. Gimel Panim, we say in this day of Hoshana Rabbah, which is the last day of Sukkot, before Shmini Atzeret, etc., we say three times, Kol Mevaser, Mevaser, Ve'oimer. We say three times the same phrase, like there's a voice that is going to give us the news. The news, and it says the Mashiach is coming. But we say it three times. Ve'az, then, תהיה שלמות העם, שלמות התורה, שלמות הארץ, ובמהרה בימינו ממש. Then it's going to be the completeness of the Jewish people, the completeness of the Torah, and the completeness of the land, and speedily in our days, literally. So in the last paragraph, it's like a, in Hebrew we call it Maimar HaMuzkar. Maimar HaMuzkar means something between parentheses. It's not like the main thing of the Maimar. It's not explaining different ideas, etc. It's only saying, look, we still complain. I still have complaints against God. You should bring Mashiach. But I think the main, like the main point of the Maimar, I believe it's the amazing way that Rabbi is saying, like today we have to teach the seven mitzvahs. We have to go out today. There's a possibility of that, and the whole redemption depends on that. Just like in Egypt, etc. And moreover, here there's no thing of destroying Pharaoh. Don't go out, so to speak, of course, so to speak. Don't go out and destroy the nations. You're not Jewish, you're not nothing. No, that's not the point. Elevate them. This is what the Rebbe is saying. It's incredible. Elevate them. Teach them. You're going to tell me, no, we never did this. Yeah, because we couldn't. Today we can. But this is what the mind of the Rebbe is like, question and answer a question. He's explaining, looking at Moshe talking to Pharaoh, why Moshe speaking to Pharaoh? Why not Aaron talking to Pharaoh? Like that's the where the Maimar starts. Yeah. Because Moshe had Torah. Yeah. And even though he couldn't really talk so nice, but forget it, Moshe has Torah. And through Torah you can elevate the whole world, even Pharaoh. Don't break him, elevate him.
Especially in our days.
In our days, definitely.
Yeah, especially in our days.
Definitely.
Yeah.
There are many people question, hey, you're teaching Torah to non-Jews, and it says in the Gemara and Talmud that a non-Jew that studies Torah, etc., etc. But nowadays, you have to understand the situation. Torah is available in all languages. And it's very easy to take it, so to speak, and to study and to understand it. And the worst part of it is very easy to misunderstand. So easy. So, Adrava, on the contrary, explain properly, the best you can, whatever, but explain what the Torah is really talking about. But they don't need me or they don't need any rabbi to learn Torah. Forget it. They can pick it up and learn it. It's online. It's very easy. Exactly. Yeah. So you better explain properly the way it's understood. What's the real message? What's the real point? Yeah, that's what we need.
Yeah.